Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This Sunday is our Youth Sunday, where the youth lead the whole service. Our theme is Love in Action, and it comes from Romans 12, verses 9 through 16. Our five high schoolers will talk about authentic Christian love in action. Those verses are filled with several bullet points for our faith. Be devoted to one another. Love must be sincere. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Bless those who persecute you and live in harmony with one another. Each one of these helps us focus on the most important things and to be successful in our Christian walk. May God bless and keep you this week. May you feel His presence and His peace in your life. And thank you for listening. The heavens are singing, proclaiming God's creation.
Glory to God, and praise to God's name.
God's law is perfect. God's teachings are sure.
Rejoice, O heart, be revived, O soul.
Christ's way is clear. The way is right.
May you follow God's path and live in Christ's light.
One of my favorite songs to start off a worship service with, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Vibrations Bell Choir plays America the Beautiful.
Thank you.
Chris Ingram reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Rest and Restoration in the Shepherd.
Good morning. Good morning. The first scripture comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That ends the first lesson. The second lesson today comes from the book of Luke, chapters 12, verses 22 through 34. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there is your heart will be also."
I hope you noticed as he read that a passage in Luke that Jesus addressed his listeners. In verse 32, he says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." I think it's interesting. We started this theme of that God is our shepherd, Jesus is our good shepherd, and we are sheep. We are his flock, and that we are to listen to him and follow him, and he has great things ready for us. And when we look here at Psalm 23, and I've asked different ones, all of you, to give me your favorite verse or passage that you like. And the one I got from Norm Robeck, Psalms 30, verses 4 and 5, and he was very specific, Revised Standard Version, all right? Verse 4, "Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." I mean, that's a great message here that goes along right around what we're doing here in Psalm 23. We find it hard, though, to find true rest. Things will pop up on a week when we don't have anything on our schedule or anything going on that week, and that happened to me last week, to minister to a family in need, and then also yesterday to go down to a graveside service down around Tuscumbia as well. So our weeks get filled up with all kinds of activities. But how do we find true fulfillment, true rest? You know, the song from the Rolling Stones, "I Can't Find Satisfaction." One of my favorite songs. I've told you this before. Anytime it comes on the radio, if you're with me, I will turn it up loud and roll down the windows because I love that song. I know the words by heart. Alabama has a song, "I'm in a Hurry, and I Don't Know Why." I think that would probably be the description of a lot of us here today. I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. But God knew that we would need times of rest, that he would need to find times that he would dictate for us. We see it in the Ten Commandments, number four commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to your Lord, your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." God knew that we needed a day to rest, a day to be refreshed, a day to be satisfied and to be encouraged. But so many of us have let that day or that time be dominated by other things, and we wonder why we're in a hurry. And we wonder why that we're always tired or something is always coming up to take away our time. But then we come to Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3. David writes there, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake." We see in just those two verses three things that he wants us to do, three things that he pushes us to do. He makes us lie down. He leads us beside still waters, and he refreshes our soul. I look at it a lot of times as little kids needing a nap. Little kids don't want to stop playing. Little kids don't want to stop things that are fun. They're wanting to run here and there and just enjoy every minute. They don't understand that at sometimes you need some rest. You need some quiet time. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." There comes a time when we just need to decompress. We need to sit and be alone with our thoughts. When Jesus transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John, Peter got busy. Instead of enjoying the presence of Jesus and this magnificent sight, he wanted to build three shelters to house, Jesus and Elijah and Moses. But this is what God said to him. He says, while he was still speaking, meaning Peter, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." He was basically telling Peter and James and John, shut up. Sit down. Be quiet. Enjoy the presence that is there in front of you. And a lot of times, like us, God is trying to get us to take a nap, to find that quiet time, that time when nothing else dominates it. He tells us that he leads us the right way to still waters because the shepherd knows the best spots. He knows the best places to find the water. But many times we don't know. We've lost sight of the shepherd. In his book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, Philip Keller writes this about the presence of the shepherd and how important it is for us to find him. He says, "In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do, and this applied day and night. He maketh me to lie down. In the Christian's life, there is no substitute for the keen awareness that my shepherd is nearby. There is nothing like Christ's presence to dispel the fear, the panic, the terror of the unknown." Many times we don't know the way that he wants to take us. Thomas was that way. When Jesus said, "You know the way to where I'm going," Peter said, "Whoa, I don't know where you're going. Could you give me directions? Could you give me the address so I could put it in my phone so I could find the right place to go to?" And that's when Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." And then finally, when we find that way, that he refreshes us. Chris read that verse from Isaiah 4, and I've used that a lot of times in funerals. When people are exhausted, maybe their loved one has been on hospice care for a long time, maybe their loved one has gone through all kinds of different ailments, and it's been exhausting, the care that they've had and the weight on them. But then he gives us that verse, that he will not grow tired or weary, that even if youths grow tired and weary, he will not. But those who hope in the Lord, he will renew their strength, he will refresh their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. But we've got to listen to the shepherd. We've got to find that time. Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations, it's a book that is filled with Jeremiah's complaints. But there's this little section in chapter 3 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Reminds me of Psalm 30, Norm. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. We need to pay attention to the shepherd when he tells us it's time for our nap, when he tells us this is the way to the best watering spot, or when he gives us his prescription for refreshing and encouragement is for us to be sitting alone, to let him speak to our heart and our mind, because we need the proper rest, we need the proper nourishment, and we need the proper attention from the Father. But there are things that keep us from green pastures. There are things that creep up in our pastures and take away the green grass that is so nourishing. I remember where my Uncle Frank, they tell the story about him getting his first 40 acres. He bought it from his uncle, and it was not in the best of shape. And he spent hours and weeks and months, even a whole year, clearing that pasture so he could put his own livestock on that pasture. He built two or three ponds that even today, my cousin and her husband have livestock there. And that place is clean and ready and nourishment for their cattle. But it took work to do that, to clean out the pasture. I remember when we first moved to Eldon and Dad started our first garden there just east of the house. My job, since I'm the oldest, I'm 5 years younger than my closest brother. When we moved to Eldon, I was the same age as my grandson, Gannon. I was 8 years old, which meant my middle brother was 3. My youngest brother was a baby. So who got to help Dad out in the garden? I did. And so what was my first job in the garden? Picking up rocks out of the garden. All right. It was not being trusted to plant anything or harvest anything. It was clearing rocks out of the garden. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry about that. But clearing rocks out of there so it could be a garden that would produce in the future, which it did. But we have to clear these things out of our pasture so they can be green and nourishing. One of those things that crops up in our pasture is fear. Scared of things that happen that we don't know how they're going to turn out. I'm going to give you an assignment this week to just read the Psalms 50 through 59. Each time you read at the top of the heading there, you will see that each one of those Psalms deals with a time when David was on the run from King Saul. This was not just a summer, camping trip that David was away from Saul. It was years that David hid in caves. He went to special valleys. And when David looked back on his life, he could see the shepherd leading him to the still waters, leading to the places to get nourishment, leading him to the caves to keep him safe. I'm sure there was many times that he was fearful, that he was worried about all the things, how things were going to turn out, even though God had chosen him to be the next king. We read there in Luke chapter 12 about the do not worry. Jesus said in the Sermon Mount, don't worry about your life, what you eat or drink, about your body or what you'll wear. He says, look at the birds, look at all the things around you, look at the flowers. Aren't you much more valuable than they? Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Fear robs us of so much. That's how come I encourage you to read the Psalms. Psalm 3:5. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. The shepherd's at his duty. The shepherd's at his post. I can turn over my fear to him, just like David turned his fear over to God and led him for all those years on the run. But there's also times that sheep will not feel satisfied is when there's friction in the flock. If you know anything about animals, you know that there's pecking orders. If you've ever turkey hunted or deer hunted, sometimes you'll see deer and they're crashing their antlers together to see which one is the biggest one. Same thing with turkeys as well. It happens in our society as well. There might be a bully on the playground or someone at your work or someone in your life that wants to dominate the area, and they cause friction, and it finds hard for us to find those green pastures. We see conflict in churches. We see it in Corinthians. We see it in the book of Revelation. We see it in Philippians. Paul calls out two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, that are disagreeing. And he tells them to get the same mind, to agree with one another, that the gospel continue to grow and do well. That happens in churches today. And when it happens, the people are restless. The flock is restless. The flock is unsettled. And the flock does not get the proper nourishment because there are disagreements. But then Paul writes earlier in Philippians how we can deal with those disagreements. He says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. That's how we cure that friction so people can get the proper nourishment and the flock can then be successful. But there's also another thing that gives us problems in the pasture. It's pest. It's bugs that get into their wool and into their eyes. If I'm outside, mosquitoes don't really bother me too much. I hear them, they bother me, but if there's one mosquito outside, it will find Betty. And if it finds her, it will leave a welt on Betty because mosquitoes like her because I think she's so sweet. Last week, we were back at Betty's mom's, and they've got a gnat problem there. Gnats everywhere. And when we're in the house, you're trying to read, and you're swatting gnats around you. I remember one reunion we went to over at Betty's family. The first Sunday of October is at Siloam Springs Park there in Illinois. One of those years, we had those Chinese beetles. You know, those are ladybugs. You know, the ones that come out in the first, you know, they get cold, and it warms up, and they're all over your house. When you squish them, they stink like the Dickens. They were so bad, we had to huddle in the shelter. We were afraid to go out among the shelter because they were everywhere. They even got into the food. It was an awful experience. We were afraid that we were going to bring some home with us. But life is filled with those types of irritations all around us. Little ones that are just slight irritations, slight pests. I don't know about you, but has anybody noticed that the stoplight here in town, if you're going north and south, you sit at the light a lot longer than the people going east and west. All right, have you noticed that? That when you're sitting there, there'll be nobody coming east or west. And I'll be going north, and I'll just sit there, not patiently, but I'll be sitting there watching nothing go by, and then someone, here, just zip by, go by, and I just sit there and wait, and then eventually it turns. Beth, I wanted to ask you how you're doing with the roundabout at Highway 87 and High Point. Okay, all right. I got down there just yesterday. Got there, and right when I was pulling in, the light turned red, which I knew meant I had to wait for it all the way coming. No, they don't wait to see if nothing's coming. You got to wait your turn for that. 10 minutes or more. It seemed like an hour, like Gannon said, or Baylor said yesterday. We told her, you got to wait 10 minutes. She goes, that's going to be hours. She said, hours. I was going down one day, down 87, to go fish with Dad. The lights were not working. I know they were not working because I sat there for 15 minutes. And finally, the guy in front of me said, the heck with it. And we just drove on through. As my Aunt Maida would say when we were in San Antonio, if a light was too long, she says, Russ, that light's not working. Just keep on going, all right? That's what she told us. But we have those irritations in life that bug us, that get up underneath our skin. And it's easy to lose sight then of where we need to find our nourishment in pastures. He tells us, let me lead you to the still waters. Let me lead you to the green pastures. Let me refresh your soul. Because all of us are hungering for something. We see the livestock, they're always browsing. They may lay down for a while, but they're always looking for food. They're always looking for nourishment. And that's the way with us as humans. There's something that we want in our lives to make it fulfilling. And we might do something and it might fulfill us for a night or it might fulfill us for a week or for a few weeks. But then we'll have to chase after it again. The people that were following Jesus, they came to him in John chapter 5, and he fed the 5,000. They kept following because they just wanted more food. And Jesus told them, he says, the real food is following me and doing what I tell you and loving others as you love yourself. And most of the crowd left because all they wanted was something to fulfill them till the next meal. So we have fear, we have pests, we have hunger. We have conflict, things that take us away from green pastures. But how do we find real rest and real satisfaction? Psalm 23 tells us that. Probably my favorite verse from Psalms, Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. How do we taste and see that the Lord is good? Well, we nourish, we graze on his word. We graze on the nourishment that he gives us. He tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness, that the very words of God, in fact, the first words of the Gospel of John says, I am the Word. That's what Jesus said, and that you can feed on me. And when we read in John chapter 6, when he challenges the people about physical food, he tells them about the real food. He says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed the seal of approval. And then he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. How do we feed on him? It's simple. We got to take time to read his word, whether you do it in your phone or whether you do it with the written word of your Bible. I'm not against devotions. Devotions are a complement to reading God's word. I don't know about you. I don't mind canned green beans. I don't mind canned corn. But there's nothing like fresh corn off the cob or fresh green beans out of the garden. We had them Thursday night at David and Cressida's. There's nothing like getting into the Word and letting God's Word speak to you directly and then letting the devotion complement what you just read. But we see the shepherd, he moves pastures. He just doesn't leave you in one pasture. He moves you to another spot. And Jesus said this. He says, I am the bread of life. But here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which will give you for life of the world. What he's saying there is that we've got to take him internally. We can't keep him at arm's length. We just can't know about him. We've got to get to know him personally. And we have to spend that time with him, that time to let him speak to us and make a difference in our lives. But then he also tells us that he not only gives us physical nourishment through food and through spiritual food, but he gives us living water so that we will never be thirsty again. Yesterday, I went down to where I had one of my first ministries, down near San Elizabeth, Tuscumbia, just off Highway 52, out in the boonies, as most people would say. I drove that little church, and you can't see it much anymore. The brush has grown up. The trees are there. But to get to it, you have to cross two little creeks, and there's a natural spring in the middle of the road. And when the kids were little, on a very hot day after church, we would drive across the first creek crossing and come to that natural spring, and we let the kids get out and put their feet in the water because it was ice cold water coming out of a spring just right there in the middle of the road. David wrote in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you, O my God. He says, that Holy Spirit, that living water, and that's what Jesus told the woman at the well, that he says, I will give you water that you will never be thirsty again. And that is the Holy Spirit that lives and is available to all of us when we make that decision to follow him. When Jesus said, I am the living water, and that rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those believed in him would later receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. When we make that decision to become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our lives, and it's like living water that renews us. Even when the world tries to beat us down, the living Holy Spirit is inside us to renew us, build us back up again, to overcome any loss that we might face. And then we get our daily nourishment from reading his word and letting it change our hearts and our minds. But the decision is up to us. He is only as far away as our hearts and our minds. It says he makes us lie down. He leads us and he refreshes us. But we have to, if we left to ourselves, we will wear ourselves out. We'll just run everywhere and not know where to get it. And we just find ourselves physically and emotionally and spiritually exhausted. That's what happened to the prodigal son. He didn't have proper nap time, did he? And what does it say when he ran himself out, when he wore himself out, he didn't take a nap and get to rest? It said that he came to his senses and he turned back to the original shepherd. That was the question of the people on the very first sermon on the day of Pentecost. That says when they heard this, Peter's message, it says they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, brothers, what shall we do? Where shall we go? Peter said, repent, change flocks. find my flock, find Jesus's flock. And he said, be baptized, get rid of all those pests, get rid of all that fear, all that sin that dirties up our lives, and have that refreshment that will change your lives forever. So to be refreshed, you need to come to the shepherd, be cleaned up, made new, and you will be fully satisfied.